I find that God speaks to me through circumstances. Obviously, the word is the key, but sometimes God speaks to me in circumstances. And last week, I probably gave a too long a description of what happened to us when our car decided to die on us, and we had to sort of rush around and get a new car, sort out a new car. Cutting a very, very long story short, I wouldn't say I was absolutely anxious about it, but I was thinking, oh no, you've got to trawl around the dealerships and try and find a new car. But we managed to borrow a friend's car, and then we ended up going to a dealership, seeing the one and only car on the forecourt that we really liked, and it worked out perfectly. But before that happened, I was studying through Philippians, and this was the verse that was sort of sitting with me during that week about not worrying about anything. So the very thing that the word is telling me, it's actually telling me, you don't have to worry about this. I've got this. But it's where you start thinking from is the most important thing. And that's the message I want to sort of try and convey today, is that stuff comes in, stuff gets thought about, and stuff goes out. So if you wanted a title for this morning, I actually came up with this morning: going in, going on, going out. So what's going into you, what's going on inside of you, and what's coming out of you? Because the world is watching. As believers, the world is watching us, how we respond to certain things. And my goodness, with the bombardment we get of all that's going on, yeah, the worldly stuff, there's stuff going on in our own lives, in our friends' lives, in our families' lives. But there is this one great truth here: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Be honest with Him. Be real with Him. And thank Him for all He has done. And that's why we love sharing testimonies, because that's just sharing the faithfulness of God and how good He's been. And it is quite interesting. Sometimes you get something back, you get a blessing back, which you didn't expect. But then you'll experience God's peace. That was one of the key things, God's peace. Not a peace that the world gives, but there is a supernatural peace that is way greater than just being content, if you like, just being peaceful. But it which exceeds anything we can understand. So it often goes beyond our intellect. It goes beyond our thinking. It's something that goes on inside of us, in our heart, which just builds that. It's not just, as someone once said, our minds are a great servant, but they're a shocking master. And that's all about what the Bible talks about, discernment. Anything that's coming at us. Actually, the last verse here: His peace will guard your heart. That peace He will give you will guard your heart. It's like the gateway, if you like, of your inner being, your heart. His peace will guard your heart and minds. This is the kicker: as you live in Christ Jesus. Many, many times when you read in the Word, it's as you do this. And I will say this, I think a lot of these things are conditional. It's about what we do about the words, about what we do believe, what we do believe about peace. His peace will guard your heart as you. That appears in the Bible many, many times, as you live in Christ Jesus. That's the key to it, in Christ Jesus. So this morning, about going in, going on, going out. I didn't really mean to actually sort of spend so much time on that. But the point I want to make this morning is that we receive so much information, and scientifically it's been proven about how we can reorder our brain, our neural pathways. Anyone heard about neural pathways? Yeah, and it is absolutely true. What is coming at us, what we absorb, will actually change us, and it will come out at some point. What we are looking at, what we're listening to, is just so important. So what's going in, what's going on inside us, and what's going out? And when we had this car situation, we borrowed a car. Some great friends of ours, we managed to borrow their car, but their car's an automatic. I'm only used to driving a manual car. And you guys who've done this before, when you've shifted from your clutch, so I started driving this automatic, you start doing that. But that's because my sort of neural pathway has been sort of configured to actually use my left foot to change gear using the clutch. But obviously, driving their car, it took me a while to stop this left leg from moving. Stick it down. And then when we managed to get our lovely car, new car, second hand, but new car, I had to think again, because I got so used in a matter of 2 or 3 days of not using this left leg. And a couple of times I actually, you're almost forgetting to put your foot down on the clutch. So it just spoke to me of, it's just so powerful what we get used to. So last week when I was sharing, I'd read in a commentary about this particular verse, but it said this. So these are not my words. This is someone else's words. Worry is an investment or a meditation in the future that hasn't yet happened. Peace, investment or meditation in the future that hasn't yet happened. So worry can be, it can be like a worship thing. It's what we're actually giving worth to. Are we giving worth to something that hasn't yet happened? And it may not happen. Doesn't mean to say we don't put our brains into neutral and we don't think about things. Yeah, sure, we don't think about things. But it's that thing about worry and anxiety that could take over, that could take grip. But it went on to say, peace, biblical peace, is an investment in a God who is already there. He's already there. He's outside time. He's already there for us. So that peace will take us there. So really the introduction of all of this really is the battle for our mind. And it's not necessarily trying to try harder. It's more about thinking differently. I want us to think about the process of what we think about. It's the how we think, not necessarily what we think, and where we think from. Interestingly, Jen and I, we went to, it was the start of a conference with a lady called Isabel Allen, who's part of Tunbridge Airport Christian Fellowship back in the day, Toronto Blessing and all of that. And every time she's been in the UK, we've tried to go and see her. Great teacher, very prophetic. But she was saying exactly the same thing. If it's almost like two worlds. Where are we thinking? Are we thinking from the secular world? Because we, as I said, we can get bombarded with so much stuff. Or are we thinking from the kingdom of heaven? It's like two seats as such. And this can be so powerful because that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. This one, he wants to keep us over here, where we're thinking from our carnal mind, where over here we can think from the mind of Christ. That's important. I'm hopefully going to give you some encouragement of how we can do that. But it is how we focus our mind. What neural pathways are we creating? Worship, the word, is key. Anyway, so the filter, this is from last week, just very, very briefly, from Philippians 4:8 last week. And it's all about disciplined thinking. We've all heard about algorithms, haven't we, in this day and age, and how all these things suddenly start to appear on your phone. You think, well, how the heck did that happen? Or if you've got an Alexa, you may have said to Alexa, do something, and then suddenly you get all these things cropping up on all your social media, Facebook pages, Instagram. You think, well, how on earth is this? But it's this thing called the algorithm. That's the world trying to get you to think in a certain way. We have this to help us think in a certain way. And we do have the mind of Christ. If you're a born-again believer, you have the mind of Christ. We have access to that mind of Christ. We have access to that kingdom thinking. And Paul's... So we're looking at a bit of Philippians 4:8, 3:12-14 we'll look at, and Romans 12:2, classic pieces of portions of scripture. But it is disciplined thinking and knowing when you're getting distracted into the way of the world thinking. So the checklist from Philippians 4. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. Reading from verse 6, it says this: don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. So it's this verse and a bit further through, but in the Passion Translation. But offer your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. So these faith-filled requests come with thanksgiving and gratitude. That's an important addition. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So this is the lens through which this works. It's like a filter as such. So it says, so keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic, real, honorable, admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure, holy, merciful, and kind. Now, if you could remember all of those, or if you had a pair of those glasses that Marilyn's got, which had those things flashing in front of you constantly, then those are the filters, the lenses with which we need to see things or even hear things. And then it goes on to say, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. That's the testimony of your life, testimony that you've been saved, that you've given your life to Jesus, that you've been healed. I've been healed. I was miraculously healed of an Achilles tendon problem. Incredible. When I was in a really bad, angry place, suddenly God healed my Achilles tendon through a word of knowledge that was given by somebody on a stage. When I was really frustrated and cross with a particular situation, I'm sitting there thinking, kid you not, I had this Achilles tendon was through and just doing heel sprints, and I damaged the Achilles tendon so badly that I couldn't touching it was really painful, and pinching it was really painful. And I was sitting at the side of this meeting on a trestle table just like this, and I thought my foot was going to fall off. It was just, wow, what is going on here? It got healed instantly. I mean, you don't know. Amazing. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. And then I could actually run around, kick a ball. I can pinch this now, no pain whatsoever. But that would kill when I did this. So I know the power of God, and I've had experiences in the power of God. So I know without doubt he's a powerful God. But we live in that tension where we don't see everything that we want to see happen. But we can't get into that thinking. We have to stay in the mind of the kingdom of God to believe that we will see even greater things happen. And I'm gonna big up Jen again, because it was brilliant what she did at Comma. We run a preschool group on a Tuesday morning, which is just awesome. And we've got great relationships with mums, dads, grandparents. And there was one grandparent who was talking to Jen and I about a daughter's, one of our grandchildren, who was suffering with an enlarged head or an oval-shaped head. Is that right? No fontanelle, which is really, really quite rare. And this falls into the category of what it says in Scripture, that you do immeasurably more than these things. You think, what is that? And I know we've moved on through 2,000 years where we've got internet and all these sorts of things. But this lady started to show Jen the picture of this child with this without the fontanelle. And Jen just said to her, can we pray? Can I put my hand on that phone, that picture, and pray for her? And you think, yeah, you could think, well, that's really weird. That's really wacky. But no, I believe that that can happen. that things you can lay hands. It talks to us in here about laying hands on the sick and they shall be healed. We can do that now, which they couldn't do 2,000 years ago because we've got the internet. Wow. And people have been saved, healed, delivered through the internet. We know there's stories out there. So whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, put those glasses on. That's the filter through which we look. So the challenge is to audit our intake. What are we listening to? What are we watching? Does it meet the Philippians 4:8 standard? So the next part is the transformation. So let's look at Romans 12:2. So this is the transformation. So again, I actually will read from the Passion Translation again. So it says here, Romans 12:2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. But by inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think, this will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. So it's that complete transformation. That word transformation is metamorpho in the Greek, which is, we all know this, is metamorphosis. It's the fundamental change. It's not just a partial change. It's a complete change. And that's who we are as believers, born again believers. We have been fundamentally changed. We are completely a new creation. And for me, I often think, do I truly believe, and am I actually operating from this new creation side of my life? Or am I still, even have I got one foot there and one foot there? But the paradigm shift of when we become born again believers is this is where we are. We are in the kingdom of heaven. This is where we think from. This is where we should think from. But in fact, sometimes we don't even have one foot over there. We're actually in the secular world and we're making all those decisions from our carnal mind rather than our spiritual mind. I think this might be better. Yeah. In the New King James Version of Romans 12:2, it says this, and do not be conformed to this world. That conformed is like being squeezed or molded by the world around us. So that's, I'm just re-emphasizing that the world around us can actually mold us into what the world wants us to believe, think, act. Kingdom of heaven is completely different. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So neural pathways. I did write a load of stuff down about neural pathways, and I will actually tell you what the world thinks about neural pathways. I looked it up this morning. Hopefully I can find it. So this is scientifically proved. We know the word tells us about it, but it's scientifically proved as well. The concept of renewing the mind is a fascinating intersection where ancient philosophy, okay, you could say the Bible, and modern neuroscience meet. It's the transition from a fixed pattern of thinking to neuroplasticity. Great word. I don't even know if I pronounce that right, but there we go. The brain's literal ability to recognize itself. For a long time, scientists believed that the adult brain was hardwired. We now know that is not true. It's not true that it was hardwired. It's more flexible. Your brain is more like plasticine than a circuit board. Okay, so you don't have a circuit board as a brain. You're not programmed. It's something to be developed. And is being developed. Oh gosh, get some good scientific language here and trying to pronounce it maybe a bit tricky. Synaptic pruning. Sorry about this. I get a bit. Jane's going, oh
typing,
gosh.
Yeah.
Typing, sorry, Anna. When you stop focusing on a negative thought pattern, the neural connection weakens and eventually withers. So you just think about worship. So you've got music carrying the word of God. I mean, I think we all know music has an emotive part in our lives. But put that to scripture, it's incredibly powerful. Long-term potentation. When you repeatedly practice a new thought or skill, the connection between neurons strengthens. As the saying goes, neurons that fire together wire together. Repeated thoughts get insulated with a fatty substance called... No, I'll go there. That's two. Let me just summarise. It'll be easier. Sorry about this. But I think it's just fascinating. I do. You may not find it fascinating, but I do. Changing your neural pathway isn't about positive thinking in a vacuum. It's about consistent physical changes in the brain's landscape. Interesting, isn't that? It's not just about positive thinking in a vacuum. It is about consistent, instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about everything. I think in other versions, it does say pray constantly, constantly pray. So changing your neural path isn't about positive thinking in a vacuum. It's about consistent physical changes in the brain's landscape. There we go. There we go. That was Paul's destiny. And I think that's the reason why Paul wrote so many times to the different churches trying to encourage people. His whole message, when you look at it, is really about becoming Christ-like. And that is exactly where we're heading as well. Just like Paul struggled. Yeah, we struggle sometimes. But the goal is to become more Christ-like, not to stay where we are, but to become more Christ-like. So the whole thing is replacing all those negative thoughts, all those negative things, with strong kingdom thoughts. Okay, just coming to the end here. So we're beyond the science, we're back to the word. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14. And this is Paul writing to the Philippian church. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I am pursuing. So he's got a goal, but he's being real about it. He's not yet reached that. Well, that's very nice. But I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. So you can hear Paul's heart here, that you know his own heart is trying to discover the more of Christ, and he's trying to encourage the Philippian church. Like by us reading this here and now, he's trying to encourage us to go from one level of glory to another level of glory. So I may reach the purpose that Christ, Jesus Christ, has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover, to become more Christ-like. I don't depend on my own strength. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all that is past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. Another driving analogy, as I was driving in our new car. You don't drive by looking in the rear view mirror, do you? Because what would happen if you did? You'd crash. Although our car's got one of these correction things. So when you hit the center line, it starts to sort of change the... It's very odd, very weird. I think I might have to just turn that off. But it's very odd. But it's true, isn't it? If we're looking in that rearview mirror all the time, so past things that are in the past, not necessarily bad things, good things, because we want to remember the good things. But if we're focusing on regret or things that have hurt us in the past, if we focus on those in that rearview mirror, we're going to miss what's in front of us. I know all our analogies aren't perfect, but I think that's very true. So, however, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. He's not fastening his mind, he's fastening his heart. That's another key thing, focusing on the heart. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus Christ. So, forgetting what is behind and straining to what is ahead. And the goal is the prize for the upward call. We're each called. We have to run our own race. We're all different. We are responsible for ourselves in life. We're responsible for our own choices, responsible for how we view things, how we share things. Sure, we can work out, and we are working out our salvation in fear and trembling with the Lord, but also in community as well. That's important, that we've got close friendships, relationships that can say, hey, Pete, you're a bit off whack there, what you did there, what you said there. And that's good, that's healthy. But the goal is for each one of us, for the prize of the upward call, just as Paul said. But that takes discipline. So, guard your input, change your nature, run your race. The last three points: what's coming in, what's going on inside, what's coming out. Guard your input, change your nature, run your race. And just remember, just as I close here, that we are a new creation, completely new being, never been seen before on the earth. I mean, that's quite a thing, isn't it? When you think about, I'm in this body, I'm in this world, but our actual true nature, Jen just got a new passport. Our passport is heaven. That's where it was issued, and that's where we can access. So just as I end here, I just want to pray for that realization once again that we are a completely new creation. I know we're not to be called to be part of this world, Lord. You say in your word not to be part of the world, but we're called to be in the world. And I pray, Lord, that you would just, through your Holy Spirit, give us the courage and all that we need to have the strength to make the right decisions, to live from the kingdom of heaven and not the kingdom of this world. That is your heart for us. And we do, just as Paul says, that we're straining to be more Christ-like. That's our desire, that's the goal. And that's your heart for your children. And we are your children. So I pray you bless everyone this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your love towards us, and that you just don't want to leave us where we are. You want to move us on to become more like you, Jesus. And I just want to pray for each one of those who can't be here this morning through sickness, whatever it might be. And we just lift them, each one, to you. And we bless them and ask for your healing hand or whatever's needed in their lives to bring a resolution. And for the glory of your name, I pray, Jesus. Amen.